Good morning, Brian Mazurowski here with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a good Monday. Lots to talk about today, and thanks for joining me. 803-0930, if you want to take part in the conversation. I am, Jimmy's watching me. I got a new kick. I'm a granola cruncher now. That's my new thing. I need like just a little something, a little snack to tide me over between like 9 and noonish, and just a handful of granola. Yeah, don't tell me I don't know anything about global warming or something. Look at me eating granola. I don't have my Birkenstocks on, but you get the picture. I'm right there with you. Anyways, I want to play something. Joe is not here with me today, but he was on yesterday, Hardline. And he brought on the Amherst town supervisor. And, you know, they're talking about development in the town of Amherst, which has gotten a lot of attention lately, right? You know, a little bit of pushback on some projects, more so than you've ever really seen in Amherst. And the discussion between the two of them turned to parking. And I thought it was interesting. Here's Amherst town supervisor Brian Culpa on his thoughts when he hears people complain about not enough parking when it comes to new developments.
You talk about parking, and parking is a big issue for a lot of communities, and people talk about having problems parking. Some of the best places in the world, by the way, you can't find parking anywhere close to where you want to be. I had this great moment in Williamsville where I walked into a store, and one of the business owners looked at me and she said, "You can't find any place to park in this village." And I said, "How do you know that? Since they're going home and calling you, or customers are going home and calling you and telling you they haven't found anywhere to park?" I said, "Well, no, they come in." "Where?" I said, "Well, do they walk?" "Because that would be great." "Well, no, they drove. Where'd they park?" "Well, we've got a mile of Main Street in the village of Williamsville with parallel parking up and down Main Street. In Snyder, we have 3/4 of a mile of on-street parking. You know, I get it. There's not parking lots. We're accustomed to seeing every store have its own parking lot of a certain size. But then we complain that we don't have the environments that we see when we go somewhere else, right? When we go to a Lake Placid or when we go to an East Aurora, we like those environments. And what they don't have, a lot of surface parking. Right. The reality is there's a wonderful book called The High Price of Free Parking. And what it talks about is, you know, what's taxable, what's not taxable, right? What actually creates economic value in a community? You know, parking doesn't do that, right? If you create seas of parking, first of all, properties are taxed on the buildings, right? We don't have a land tax. So parking does nothing to contribute to taxable value. Second of all, you're not generating income off of parking, right? So parking becomes an albatross. You know, everybody wants every business, every place to have more and more parking, that we complain about places where they have a sea of parking. So, you know, it's a misnomer, right? One of the first things you think about when you think about where you're going is, you know, if you're going on vacation, is what does that place look like aesthetically? How walkable is it? You know, where am I going? Do you say, "Hey, I want to go to a Target Plaza on vacation because I want to know that there's enough parking in front of everywhere I'm going to go to"? Maybe some people do. But the reality is we limit ourselves in the type of quality communities we're willing to build because we can't get out of our own ways, and we look at parking and we look at traffic and we look at those things as hypothetical barriers, right? Hurdle Avenue, there's not a lot of parking. Elmwood Avenue, there's not a lot of parking. Main Street, Williamsville, there's not a lot of parking. The reality is people figure it out. There's really great opportunities that develop when you create some density. And, you know, the reality is, yeah, we can create more municipal parking. We have parking, in that case, at the Harlem Road Community Center. We have parking down the street at our library. What we want to do is create walkable environments as well, right? We want people to be able to feel like I can walk to the end of my block or the end of somebody else's block and have a tight well-stitched together community that is walkable and that you could traverse on foot. You're not going to do that walking past fields of parking. You just walk down Transit Road. Tell me how it feels.
Do you agree or disagree with what he's saying? That's Brian Culpa. He's the Amherst Town Supervisor. What do you think? 803-0930, you can give me a call, 803-0930, on his thoughts on parking in walkable communities. And it's interesting to me. He makes a couple points that I would agree with, and then some where I kind of stroke my chin a little bit and think, I'm not 100% sure. You talked about, do people go out when they're on vacation and, you know, seek out Target plazas because you can park there because there's ample parking? And, you know, obviously the answer would be no, I would say. But it does bring the question, you know, what exactly are we building for? Who are we building for? And there's an interesting way of looking at that. When you're talking about, and he mentioned, you know, out on vacation, visiting an area, and how aesthetically pleasing a more dense area looks than, you know, something that's spread out, has a lot of available parking, I'd say he's 100% right. I think there's absolutely something to that. Case in point, some of the, you know, first ring suburbs of Denver, I noticed this a lot. Or even, you know, as you get even closer to that city, it feels a lot like that, where there's a lot of plazas, a lot of parking. And, you know, in areas where that's the case, no one's looking at that and saying, like, oh, that's, you know, a cool place to go and visit, right? When I go somewhere, I like to, and this is important for me. I think about this. We go to a Bills road game, or try to, you know, just about every year. And ideally, you know, we would love to go to Kansas City, but everything I hear about Kansas City is that, you know, things kind of far apart. It's like if someone visited here, the stadium, right? And that you'd have to drive places. And I don't really want that. My idea of a nice vacation, if I'm driving, or, you know, if you have a car, you have to rent a car to get from the airport or something like that, would be to never use it. You know, I do want a walkable. Like, that is very attractive to me. You want somewhere where you can park once and then never have to worry about the car again. We did that in Cincinnati this past year. You parked the car just a few months ago, I should say. Let's go. I got the window cleaner. Is that what it is, Jim? So someone's waving hi to me outside my second story window. You got the car, you park it, you don't have to worry about it. You can walk to everything you need. And take some sort of public transit or something like that. There's something nice about that. At the same time, like, is that really the beneficial model for people and businesses in Western New York? That's what I question. Because, you know, sure, if you're talking about making a community that looks nice, is enjoyable to spend an afternoon in, is enjoyable for people to come visit, density's better. You know, street parking is fine. That's all you should need. But if we're talking about making a community for Western New York where people want to live and businesses would thrive, I'm not 100% sure how true that is. How important is it to you having places to park? Things like that. 803-0930. And think about the communities near you. This is one of the things I love about the main street by my house in North Tonawanda. Is I think it does a great job at this. You go up and down the main street and you don't have parking lots or, you know, these big, now granted, it's not a large stretch, right? It's not a big stretch, but you don't have these big parking lots. There's a parking lot behind the main street And the parking on the street is not parallel parking because they know even with technology, all these people out there are, you know, too aloof to learn how to parallel park. You slide into the space and then you back out onto the street. There's no parallel parking on the NC side. I think it's kind of perfect that way. It's like a perfect mix of a place you can go to and not be thinking about parking at all because you know there's going to be a bunch down there, but also not appearing spaced out and like all there is places to park the car and you're lacking that density that is pretty attractive. I like that mix because if you think about some other areas of the city, you know, he mentioned Elmwood, Hurdle. Sure, they're thriving, but there's also a lot of people who just, if that's an option, you got a Saturday afternoon, you can do one of two things. You might not go down there because you know parking's going to be a hassle. I don't necessarily look at it like that, but I think there's a lot of people who do. 803-0930, what about you? We'll go to the phone. So Jeff in Kenmore. You're on WBEN. Jeff, what's going on? How are you?
Good. Yeah, I think the Amherst guy's right. I mean, you know, as far as parking goes, you know, you just need to park and walk. You know, most people don't want to do that. They don't want to walk three blocks or five blocks or whatever. They kind of want to pull up kind of close and be there. And the NT situation, I do like that they had to park in behind, you know, the Riviera Theater on the other side there. You can park behind a few buildings, but not all the spaces have that land available. You know, like Elmwood Village and Hurdle, you have some parking lots behind. But, you know, I live in Kenmore. I'll walk to Hurdle to avoid parking sometimes because we'll go out, we'll have some drinks, go to do something, go to dinner, and then walk home. And a nice day, you know, not like a rainy, bad day. But if it's rainy, you know, I drop my wife off at the door and I park the car and then I walk to the restaurant, wherever it is.
Oh, hey, chivalry's not dead. Like to hear about that.
I understand. Right. I don't, I mean, it's just look at the suburbs where there's, like, the malls are all empty. You have as much parking as you want to go shopping and restaurants in there and everything, and they're dead, right? And what do they want? Plazas where you got to go in and move your car. Most people aren't walking in those plazas from place to place. They actually move their car to another parking spot.
That is funny to see when that happens. Jeff, I like your line of thinking, and I think I feel like I'm probably the same way. I don't mind walking. I'll walk all day long.
Right.
That's fine for me. There's two things that I think about. One is not everyone's like us, right? So you might be older or you might just not be. Not everyone wants to be in for a walk. It does kind of make it inaccessible for some people. And the other, you mentioned it, is the weather. You have, what, 4 months out of the year here where walking isn't as attractive as, you know, maybe it would be the other time.
Right. You know, that's Buffalo, but I think Buffalo in general, people are spoiled that parking is available and they do not want to walk that far. Elmwood Village suffers a lot of businesses that fail. They all complain about parking issue, but it's really a walking stretch. You need to park somewhere and then walk. You know, you're not going to get parking. Usually you're not going to get parking close to where you want to go. And a lot of people parallel park once for their road test. And if they have to go somewhere and have to parallel park, they're not going there.
Oh yeah. If they don't know what they're doing.
How to do it.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, thank you. Jeff, I think, you know, kind of rifled off a lot of points that, you know, generally speaking, right, I like the idea. But then, you know, Jeff kind of lists off all these ideas or reasons why people complain about it and it doesn't work. And you can do one of two things. You can say, well, you know, kind of learn to live with it, or you can take them as a reality of the situation. I kind of want to do both, right? I am a walker. I'll, you know, Friday, went to the Sabres game. I don't bother. I used to have my spots. I used to park right where those cobblestone roads are on Canal Side. I mean, you could park right next to the arena. No one knew you could park there for the longest time, you know, before people actually went down to Canal Side and saw that you could park on the side of the street. So for the longest time, no one was ever parked there. And you could get there not even all that far in advance and park right next to the arena. It was awesome. And then that got found out. And so it's a little bit of a longer walk. So now I don't even bother. I just park. I park far away where I know there's going to be a parking space. And then I just walk. Even if I have my son, you know, I'll put my son on my shoulders and we'll walk all the way down to the arena. And I'll say, just watch out for the branches. And we'll do. I don't have a problem walking. But that's not going to be true for everybody. Not everyone wants to walk a mile to where they're going to go. And that will keep some people from going. I don't think that's going to change. And he mentioned spoiled. And this brings up something else. I've talked with Joe about this. And we have differing opinions on the expansion of the Metro Rail. You know, it's always talked about maybe it's a high-speed bus route. Maybe it is a rail. Maybe it's an above-ground, you know, whatever. All these things that I don't think will ever happen of going to the UB North campus up in Amherst. And one of the reasons why I just don't see it ever being worth it is because I don't think people from the North towns want to give up the ability to drive down, park, and, you know, be on their own schedule. To park right there. They don't want to ride the rail on somebody else's schedule, be dropped off, and then have to walk to wherever they're going. Because, you know, it's a rail. It's not going to drop you off right at the front door. People want to hold on to that. It's just kind of something that we're used to here in Western New York. And it's tough to change that mindset. We'll go to Pat in Tonawanda. All right, Pat, what do you think about this? How the density versus availability of parking, what side do you fall on?
Well, I lived in Williamsville for 30 years, and I just moved to Tonawanda, and most of it was because of the lack of parking. They changed Main Street, the layout. They put in these bump outs, which took away quite a few parking spaces, you know, to make it easier for people who are crossing the street. But again, I lived like two blocks in from Main Street at the north end of Williamsville. And for me to get, it took me like 20 minutes to walk to the heart of the village. Now, and then they started taking away the parking spaces. Companies came in, took over where the bank was. You couldn't park back there. The spots were saved for them. And it just got to be too much.
You know, it's interesting to hear you, Pat, because I would have thought that living there would be better because you can walk to all these businesses and you have this walkable neighborhood, and then presumably you would have parking where you live. Was that the case?
Well, yeah, I had parking where I live. I lived in an apartment. I had a parking spot. So, but if I wanted to go to the village, half the time I would drive because I'm in my 60s. So, I mean, for me, maybe for you, it's not so hard to go to a Sabres game with your son on your shoulders. But I wouldn't think of doing that. Carrying a purse is getting hurt. So it's just, I think that it's not really walkable. It's hard during busy spots. If you want to go to lunch, my girlfriend and I figured out the restaurants that open at 11 o'clock. And if you get there right at 11 o'clock, you can find a parking space. I mean, how weird is that to eat lunch at 11 o'clock?
Hey, I'm eating lunch at 9:30, Pat, so you're asking the wrong person. But I get your point. Thanks for the call. To Pat's point, right, not everyone. I'm a walker. But that's not for everybody. So you want to be mindful of that, because when you're building a community, you're keeping these few things in mind. You know, what type, the walkers and the non-walkers, but also if the non-walkers aren't showing up, that's going to be a detriment to business there, right? I mean, you heard Pat say there are places you won't go or either go right away because that's the only time you find parking. And like it or not, and here's the real thing that this mindset and what Brian Culpa kind of spelled out on WBEN yesterday is up against. Like it or not, like, this is the attitude of Western New York. I don't think that's necessarily going to change. Even if I might agree with the idea, and at the end of the day, what you're trying to get to. 8030930, what about you? How important is parking? What is a, you know, you think about Williamsville and Main Street. You think about the Tonawandas, Main Street there. You think about Hurdle. Yeah, Elmwood. Some of these areas. parking. What is it like? Do you not go there because there's not adequate parking? Let me know. 803-0930. Brian Mazurowski, I'm here on WBEN. All right, so welcome back. Brian Mazurowski here with you on WBEN. While we were at the break, the Bills releasing some new renderings and images. What is a render? Everything gets called a rendering. An image of something that doesn't exist is always called a rendering. Like that Pope picture over the weekend. They were rendering. They're drawings. Drawing seems like what a three-year-old does. It's probably insulting to the artist and the design team, engineers, whoever, you know, makes up all these plans. Drawing is a little... But anyways, some new pictures of the what will be the new Bills Stadium released by the team. They're putting some pictures out there. Plenty of parking. I'll say that there's ample parking at the new Bills Stadium. They're going in the opposite direction for the football stadium than what Brian Culpa said. It does. Looks awesome. Looks pretty cool. Inside the state. I mean, you know, it looks like a football field. But anyways, they're cool looking images. They're available online right now just during the break. I got to, as soon as the music hit, I'm looking at these new images of the Bills Stadium as the owners' meetings go on right now. We'll talk about them tomorrow with Sal. He'll join us at 8:20 in the morning. We were talking about before the break, speaking of parking, you know, a lot of parking at the new Bills Stadium. We were talking about the parking comments made by Amherst Town Supervisor Brian Culpa, who was, you know, pushing back against all these. It sounds like he's a little sick of hearing about parking. That's what he sounded like yesterday when speaking with Joe Beamer on Hardline. He sounds like he's kind of tired about constant parking complaints when it comes to new development. And he was arguing for, well, a more dense community, a more walkable community, a community that is a little more visually attractive, which you generally don't say that about parking lots all over the place, right? And I get what he was saying. He also mentioned you can't tax a parking lot. You have to tax buildings. And that was one of the reasons he wants to see more buildings. It begs the question, how important is it to you? When you're deciding where to go, where to visit around Western New York, when you think about some of these areas, I mean, in Buffalo, Elmwood, in Hurdle, Main Streets, in Williamsville, in Tonawanda, in Kenmore, you know, Kenmore Avenue in Delaware. These villages that you don't really think of as having a great opportunity to park right in front of where you want to go. Does that change the way you look at them? For the better or worse? What do you think? 803-0930. You can weigh in. A lot of people chiming in, sending texts this morning. And there's quite a few people who say, look, whether it's because of age or a health problem or something like that, I want to, or the weather, as a few people have put out. Someone said Western New York has 7 months of bad weather. I want to park close to the store. But for a whole bunch of reasons, people are saying, I want to park close. That's my preference. Close parking. I don't care if it's a parking lot or anything like that or what it makes a community look like. If I'm going somewhere, I need the opportunity to be able to park right next to it. And I think that's just Western New York's mindset. I was saying it before when they keep talking about expanding the Metro Rail north to Amherst. I wonder, well, how many people are really going to take that downtown? You know, outside of weekends or, you know, maybe for big events at the arena or something like that, I don't really see it being used that much day to day by people working. The regular Metro Rail isn't used all that much day to day by people. Where I don't see people doing it because they like the convenience of being able to drive, park, sometimes in a ramp connected, sometimes right outside, drive and park, be on your own schedule, and be dropped off right next to where you're trying to be. On the text board, someone was saying they went to the Banshee downtown, and they had pay to park the parking lot right next to it. I think that's one of the reasons why. I mean, it's a great place, nice owners, great Guinness, and good food, too. But parking right next to it, I think, is one of the big reasons that's popular. You don't have to find parking on the street nearby. You can park. Now, the pay to parking app is not fun to deal with all the time. No more ticket taking machines or anything like that. Everything, even the private parking lots, are all through this app. It's difficult to navigate, I think, for a lot of people. Got to download something new, figure out a zone, remember your license plate, all that kind of stuff. But I think that's one of the reasons it's so popular. It has parking right next to it in a parking lot, which is hard to find downtown. But doesn't matter to you. 803-0930. Again, Brian Culpa is the Amherst Town Supervisor. And he was saying this about parking yesterday with Joe Beamer.
You know, parking doesn't do that, right? If you create seas of parking, first of all, properties are taxed on the buildings. Right, we don't have a land tax, so parking does nothing to contribute to taxable volume. Second of all, you're not generating income off of parking, right? So parking becomes an albatross. You know, everybody wants every business, every place to have more and more parking, that we complain about places where they have a sea of parking. So, you know, it's a misnomer, right? One of the first things you think about when you think about where you're going is, you know, if you're going on vacation, is what does that place look like aesthetically? How walkable is it? You know, where am I going? Do you say, hey, I want to go to a Target Plaza on vacation because I want to know that there's enough parking in front of everywhere I'm going to go to? Maybe some people do. But the reality is we limit ourselves in the type of quality communities we're willing to build because we can't get out of our own ways, and we look at parking and we look at traffic, and we look at those things as hypothetical barriers, right? Hurdle Avenue, there's not a lot of parking. Elmwood Avenue, there's not a lot of parking. Main Street, Williamsville, there's not a lot of parking. The reality is people figure it out. There's really great opportunities that develop when you create some density.
Now, I won't disagree with that. There are great opportunities to make a pretty nice community when you focus on density and, you know, adding more buildings and structures and businesses instead of parking. However, you can say that people figure it out. No, but some people don't figure it out. Some people just avoid it altogether. And you definitely cut out a lot of people if you don't think about parking. And you leave that out of the equation. He mentioned Elmwood as an example of figuring it out. And some of that's true. They've, quote-unquote, been able to figure it out, I think, because they have a lot of people living right in that area. In terms of attracting people, the last time we were at Kohl's, you know, meeting friends out for dinner, it came into my head, right? Where am I going to park? Like that, it is a factor. Driving around all the streets, trying to find a place to park, that takes away from the experience for people visiting. And, you know, if one of your examples are people going on vacation, like what somebody just said on our text board, you have to carry into that, are a lot of people vacationing in Williamsville. I mean, think about who you're building for. People from outside of town would be the last thing on the list that I'm worried about. And the first thing would be, all right, the people who live in that area, and can the businesses attract from the surrounding area? And I do think parking plays into that quite a bit. But anyways, that's just my thoughts on it. Parking is important for me, where I go, especially now with kids. You know, I'll say I will walk anywhere with my toddler. If I've got both kids with me, or, you know, the young one in a stroller, like, yeah, I'm going to need something right there. I'm not pushing a stroller, especially in the winter. I'm not going to try and push a stroller on a snowy sidewalk for like 3 blocks. It's just not going to happen. So parking does matter depending on the situation you're in. And yes, it will keep people away. I think I mentioned it before in the last segment. Tonawanda has it right. They've got that perfect mix. For me, in my opinion. Now, it's a smaller main street. You know, it's not quite as long as the Williamsville that we're talking about, their area, or as dense. But there's a lot to do there. It's pretty nice. And they have parking off of Main Street, ample parking. I mean, a big parking lot that doesn't take away from, you know, the Main Street vibe, so to speak. You park behind, you walk through an alley, and boom, you're there. You never have to worry about parking. On the street down there, you have not parallel parking, but idiot-proof parking, right? I mean, that's what you would call it, because no one knows how to parallel park. You can pull into a spot, and you still have room for cars to come and go. I think they've done it right. You've been able to reach a happy medium in the two. So I don't know. That's just maybe I'm a little biased because I live right around there, but that's just my two cents. Someone's chiming in that you can have underground parking in a parking garage. That's what people want included in a lot of these plans. You know, where are the spaces going to be? But it's an interesting way to look at it. I think you're bound to meet some resistance to that here in Western New York. It's just how we're wired. We're wired to drive right up to something and boom, put it in there. Other news this morning. I was searching around this morning to find, you know, what's going on around the state. What is interesting? How about this? The Museum of Failure. Did you see about this? Sunset Park, New York, now has a Museum of Failure. Now, I don't know if I necessarily agree. I like the idea, but I'm starting to think they don't really know what failure is all about. So the Museum of Failure is a place that celebrates bad ideas, silly designs, they say, and overhyped products that never really took off. Now, the first example of this I thought was hilarious. I totally forgot about this. This is over 10 years ago. Bic for her pens. That's right. Bic made a line of pens designed for women, which there's a lot of things you might need, you know, for him or for her. Pens, I did not think was on that list, but they made Bic for her pens. It was a flop. It was just glitter and a higher price. Made the Bic for her pens. Google Glass, right? I mean, now people wear smart glasses. Ray-Ban makes smart glasses. But before that, Google Glass, it was a flop. No one wanted it. Privacy concerns, now no one cares about their own privacy. It was just ahead of its time, I think. So that is in the Museum of Failure. But there's also some things in there that I don't really agree with. The Segway scooter, come on. That had a great run. Mall cops everywhere would disagree. And lawn darts. How are jarts in the Museum of Failure? Every time I hear jarts mentioned, it's somebody wanting to bring them back, not the other way around. But I don't know. What's in your Museum of Failure? We'll go back to the phones. 803-0930. Christina is in Snyder, which is, you know, part one of the areas in question. How's it going, Christina? What do you think about the comments made by Brian Culpa?
Well, I think that Supervisor Culpa, he might be a little bit out of touch with what the residents really want. Last Thursday evening, well, I guess I'm going to step back a little bit further, because the recording that was played yesterday was from a show that Joe Beamer aired almost 2 weeks ago. And it was a question around development in Amherst and when is enough enough. And I thought that Joe did an absolutely great job peeling back the layers of the onion. And one of the big issues with this project is parking, because the proposal in Snyder, and again, this puts parking into context, is to put a 65,000 square foot building on less than 1 acre of property. And the proposed building only provides for like 75 or 76 parking spaces. And to give you an idea of the residential capacity of this building, it's 48 apartments that contain 76 bedrooms. That's the mixed-use residential section. And then for the restaurants, it's 6,500 square feet, which would seat 275 patrons. So if you start to do the math on parking, that basically equates to building a project that is not self-sufficient in terms of parking. Now, we've had ongoing parking issues in our neighborhood, parking and traffic. And as long as 2 years ago, Supervisor Culpa was talking about the excessive load on our street, and a community meeting was not scheduled until there was a huge amount of pushback on this project. And the meeting took place this past Thursday night. The biggest concern that I have, if I could state this, is that Supervisor Culpa's solutions to the parking problems that will be created by this project, he seems to be looking at private property, and he was drawing lines around parking lots directly behind Main Street businesses and suggesting that the solution lies here. These are private parking lots. Do businesses want the public using their lots for parking?
You know, Christina, I feel like when I listen to the comments, there's an idealistic way almost of thinking about putting development in there, right? You want to create a certain feel, look, aesthetic, and parking lots are, or even parking ramps, are generally not really a part of that. Do you understand, where do you think the happy medium is between, you know, that nice looking community that is maybe idealistic and meeting the needs of people who live there and people who want to visit?
I guess the sweet spot for me is in development that is scaled to the neighborhood. So when you're trying to build an outscaled structure and you're not prepared to make it self-sufficient, you're putting a strain on the entire context, on the neighborhood, on the people who live there, on the businesses that exist there. And the idea of walkable communities is something that it almost sounded like, hearing the comments, like people should leave their cars home. And you were talking about this earlier in your show. Do people leave their cars home? And you heard some callers call in and say they want to be able to drive to their destinations. And we can't make a sweeping change without having the proper infrastructure. And I guess development that doesn't take into account the respective infrastructure that exists is not smart development, in my opinion. It needs to have an element of self-sufficiency.
There needs to be a realization, you know, to that point from earlier, that people want mm-hmm. to drive somewhere. They don't want to necessarily leave their cars. There needs to be a realization of the culture that we have, you know, for mm-hmm. lack of a better term. We drive places. You know, we're not a public transportation or really a walking community right now, just as Western New Yorkers in general. Do you think that is maybe worth changing, though, thinking about?
Change doesn't happen overnight. And this project seems like it's an effort to push that boundary and make the neighborhood that we live in. So to contextualize this a little bit further, and I am going to address your question about change. To contextualize this a little bit further, the placement of this project, it's not like it's on an Elmwood or Hurdle or some area where you've got lots of through traffic and lots of places to put cars. It just isn't. It's actually at the top of one dead-end street that doesn't even have the capacity for snowplows and refuse vehicles to turn around. They literally have to back out. And the other street is really small, and it's a no-outlet street. So if you think about this development, you know, like the cars would spill over into the neighborhood. So when you think about change, a logical way to consider making change, really, people will accept it more completely if it's incremental rather than radical.
Yeah, that's something. Hey, Christina, sorry, we do have to run, running out of time. Thank you for the call. I think it's worth looking. I like the ideas. I just don't know if it's right now the practical option for Western New York. Parking in general is tough. Even places with parking lots. You want to park close? You better be expecting a child or have a young kid and a mother, picking up a prescription, have a handicap sticker, picking up your drive-by groceries or something like that, served in the armed forces, and what are some of the other ones that you see? There's the first half of the parking lot right there. It's all reserved now. That's I saw five spots over the weekend in front of Wegmans that I wanted to go to. But I wasn't eligible for any of them. I couldn't believe it. And they're all just empty. What's like the lowest on the chain of reserved spots that you've seen? Is there one like for people wearing blue on Tuesdays, the spot's for you? Is that out there? Maybe we'll find one. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. You got David coming up next. Joe after him on WBEN.